Sessionable.
Welcome, everyone, to Sessionable. And we're sitting here at the Ultimo TAFE in Ultimo, Sydney.
Yeah. This is probably the most sterile recording places we've ever been to, I'd say. What do you reckon?
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way, of course. Yeah. It is very... It's very industrial chic.
Yeah. So as you can hear, it's me and Liam, and we're joined by one of our sponsors, Dave, from Dave's Brewery Tours.
How you going, guys?
We finally got you on a podcast.
It's good to see where all that money's going, nice spiffy technology that you got there.
And we're also joined by Neil from the Institute of Beer and the TAFE course, the beer course that is running at TAFE.
Morning, guys. Welcome. Good to have you here.
How you going?
Cheers. So seeing, I guess, as we're sitting here an arm's length away from a very cool little brewery in a very cool little room, actually. I like this. You got brewery to one side, industrial freezers, a pizza oven. I wouldn't mind this as my kitchen, actually. This is pretty cool.
You know, we decided as soon as TAFE asked us to do the course that we wanted somewhere cool, and this is just the coolest. Because I'm an analytical chemist by trade.
Yeah.
So coming back here, and it's just got everything you could possibly want to do with food analysis. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that pizza oven, to be honest.
I'm just eyeing off the cryovac sealer behind you.
Liam, your pocket's going to be full.
Yeah, you might want to pat me down before I leave.
You can understand when people came to for the information evening for the TAFE course, they just walked in here and they just went, this is cool, this is a great space. And we're going to be holding all of our lessons in here as well, just because it's cool. Yeah.
It really just hammers home the more of the science of brewing, I think. And it's not this, magical thing that happens. It's actually a measurable and quantifiable scientific thing.
Absolutely. There's a lot to it. And I just wonder if people are starting to understand now just how complex and hard brewing is. Because there's that thing, isn't there, where people just make it in their garage with a kit and a kilo and brewing is easy. But when you get to a reasonable scale, especially, you know, some of the bigger breweries, there's just so much goes on there and so much to know and so much that can go wrong. You know, the whole concept of entropy, where if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong, that is brewing. So a lot of what we try and do is just keep those things in control. And
you definitely feel like you have control in this room. It's definitely... It's a room that
wait till the students arrive.
Control. Yeah.
So when do the students arrive? When does the course start? And tell us about how long it runs for and what kind of things you are going to teach.
Well, you know, I get this started off about 2 years ago, and Richard Adamson from Young Henry's was sat down for lunch with our premier, as you do, obviously. And
when you're Richard Adamson, yeah.
And you know, the big question was what is the thing that's holding back the craft beer industry the most? And Richard rightly said people. So when you get in the ears of the right people, obviously a phone call was made to the head of TAFE, whoever that is, the next day, and suddenly TAFE approached us and said, can we help you with putting together a vocational training course? And obviously what TAFE do so well is, you know, they train our chippies and our chefs and our hairdressers and our photography people. And these whole vocational training, you know, where you learn physically how to do something rather than just the theory behind it. Perfect. It's a perfect match. So we've been working for, I think, about another 8 or 9 months, and we got funding. And then for the past year, I've been sat hunched over my desk, actually putting the course together in conjunction with some great people. Chris Sheehan from Malt Shovel, Chris Wilcox from Four Pines, and Richard Adamson have helped me enormously, you know, helping validate what we're doing, what we need to be teaching, the scope of the course. And we had 160 people come to the information evening. We had 16 spaces. We took on 17, hoping that somebody would drop out. They didn't. So now we have an odd, we have a lame duck. They start on Monday, the 6th of February. So that's the first three-hour evening session. And then every fortnight, they have one day out in the industry or at the brewery here at TAFE doing their vocational training. Whole thing lasts just shy of a year.
Yeah, sweet. So is this the first accredited course in New South Wales teaching brewing?
Probably right. It is certainly the first vocational course. Mm. You have the course at Ballarat, the post-grad, and you used to have one at Edith Cowan, but that stopped apparently. But obviously Ballarat is great, and I did that one. So if you're a brewer already or you're working in a brewery, then doing that theory, they're obviously offline learning, online learning, that's good. But you come out of that course... you can come out of that course never having brewed a beer.
Yeah.
Whereas the whole point of TAFE is that you come out of the course knowing how to prime a pump, knowing how to clean a tank, knowing how to pitch yeast, knowing how to run a brew house, knowing how to run a canning line, quality systems. You know, it's endless, really. So there's a very, very different focus on this, which is more what brewing needs, I think, more of the vocational how to do something rather than the theory behind it. Although we will be doing a lot of stuff in the lab and a lot of theory behind it as well.
Yeah, so. Cool. Did you get a lot of or any interstate applicants for the course, or was it mostly New South Wales based?
We had someone from Hong Kong and someone from Singapore, and I think two from India wanted to apply for the course. Now, it's a domestic-only course. It's vocational training. You have to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've already talked to most of the other TAFEs around the country, so hopefully, certainly two are very interested, so hopefully within the course of the next year or so, this course will be rolled out to every state as well, so we'll have a national vocational training network for brewers, which is I'll die happy. I probably will expire at the end of it, but definitely it's a good outcome, hopefully.
So like, what sort of level are people coming in at? Is there are you already expected to have some industry work experience or industry training, or is it literally you can come in from a homebrew setting? Or
because we had so many applicants, and we actually had 60 applicants, physical applicants, we had to make some decisions. And, you know, you guys know, and most of your listeners will know, it's hard industry to get into. And those ones that show the most enthusiasm go in there. They do the heartbreaking day, just kegging all day, all that stuff. So we took people that have got some experience or have worked at breweries. That was our prerequisite. A couple of guys have bought breweries. They're literally on the water at the moment, and they need to know how to use them.
You can't test their commitment.
I've just spent $250,000 on a brewery. Yeah, okay, you better come on the course. But there was another 10 or 15 people we could have taken that, you know, are working in the industry, just haven't quite got out there.
Yeah.
But ongoing, no, I mean, really, enthusiasm is going to be it. A little bit of beer knowledge. You've got to obviously demonstrate that you're interested in beer. But of course, some people sort of, you know, there's that whole thing, people want to make a change to their career or they want to do something different, but haven't quite got off the settee to actually do anything about it. So you've got to kind of weed them out.
Yeah, and I'm really stoked. Three of our staff applied, or three of Dave's staff applied for the course, and two were accepted. So that's really good. It enabled us, and we knew... we'd spoken to our staff about this opportunity and said that we would help them in terms of the work that we can provide them to be able to
put them in the right place.
To put them in the right place so that we can support them through the next 12 months while they're doing their training at TAFE. So it's really, it's a strong thing for our business to have people on the course because it adds a new dimension to what we do on our tours and through our events. But it also means that... people, because we've got people who come to us that are transitioning into beer or from somewhere into beer, and they see Dave's as one of those stepping stones of getting there, or an option, you know, to be able to work casually or on the side. And so when the course came about and a couple of our staff expressed an interest, I was stoked because I just thought, perfect. We can help these guys get enough hours and get paid so they can pay for their course. We can support their learning through stuff that we do outside of the tours and events. And it's really symbiotic. So we hope to see more of that.
And as a selfish thing, it makes them a better guide as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And hopefully our office fridge gets a constant supply of beer. So Tom, Artie, you know what to do.
The trouble you've got is you're going to educate people away from doing the tours. They're going to see the Nirvana, which is working in a brewery, and transition on through.
I think that's why when we started talking about IOB, I was so keenly interested in being involved in that, and I have an interest in what's going on here at TAFE, because when I started the tours, I wanted it to be, and what we've become is, it's not about just a bus full of people going out and drinking beer for the afternoon. And there is part of that, but a big part of it is around education, and education around what it really takes to brew good beer and the stories behind that and the challenges behind that. And so it just leads itself into being an education provider of sorts. It's like it's the entry level education of beer. And it's then on from a tour. It's like, what's the next step? I want to get certified through Cicerone. I want to become a brewer.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I've had a good mentor in Neil convincing me I shouldn't become a brewer.
Leave the brewing to the brewers there, Dave.
Sure. Well, I think, Dave, you've created a legion of fans in the fact that you've proven that you can have a business in this industry and not actually have to own your own brewery to do it. So.
Well, it sometimes feels like we've got just as much on the on the line.
Yeah.
But you don't need to have a big set of shiny stainless steel to be able to make an impact and be able to be an effective part of the industry, which is awesome.
I guess that's a sign of the times of the maturity of the industry as well. When these other sub-genres of the industry start building up and emerging, you can sort of see that as an industry, it's really getting big.
Yeah, there's an element of pragmatism as well, which, I mean, Dave spent a lot of time looking at the industry as a whole before he jumped in. And there's a lot of people out there with a huge amount of passion that want to spend a large amount of money on stainless steel, and it's not an insignificant investment. But it shows when you've got basically three training organisations and events organisations that are coming up and hopefully be quite successful on the back of just New South Wales, Canberra, of course. It is a really good indication of maturity.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens next?
Mm. So I guess moving on from, we've got the industry side and the technical side and moving into the Institute of Beer. Do you want to give us a bit of a backstory behind what that is? Because it's a bit symbiotic and all comes back together.
As long as symbiotic rather than parasitic, that's good. Well, look, it does, at the heart of Institute of Beer is pretty much the same thing in its education. And I think what really got us into it was breweries are starting to really put out some great beer nowadays. We have been through quite a difficult period, and yet there are some extraordinarily good breweries, like Akasha, Batch, that are putting out excellent quality beer. And things kind of cascade down. And what I got very frustrated was that I would go to some of our, apparently the best beer bars, and obviously no names. But, there would be these brewers with million-dollar breweries working incredibly hard, putting together a beer, taking the whole supply chain through, and it would get to the point of sale, and then it would be served in a dirty glass from an unclean line, poorly thing with someone that just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And that was heartbreaking to me. So clearly there was, as the brewers work harder, because it's a more competitive environment, there is a need for our serving people that are involved with actually getting that beer into the glass and the mouths of the customers to upgrade their skills as well. And that is the heart of Institute of Beer. So that's why we brought Cicerone course across with certified beer server status. So if you want to serve beer, you spend some time learning about how to serve it, temperatures, pressures, cleaning glasses, how to pour a beer, but also understanding the beer, a lot about beer styles, ingredients, so that when people come to your venue, they look on the board, particularly someone like the local tap house, which has got this awe-inspiring 50 beers on there. How do you make the choice? And that's when you need an educated person behind. Mm. And the local tap house were at the forefront. They've taken most of the people.
Yeah.
So they've done it. And then when someone's charging you $10 for a schooner of beer, they don't serve it in a dirty, chipped glass, and they pour it properly.
Yeah.
All of which seem very simple, but, right at the very end of the beer's journey before it gets consumed, you can stuff it up completely. And that's just heartbreaking, especially when you're charging that much money. So that's what the Institute of Beer is trying to do, that end point, really improving people's knowledge before it gets to the consumer.
Mm. And so that's like the kind of entry level to the Cicerone program. Are you taking people through the next step as well for the certified certified Cicerone?
Yeah, the certified Cicerone, that's a serious qualification, I have to say.
Because
you're about to do it.
Yeah, I'm knee-deep in it at the moment.
And it's really interesting, because I guess in our immediately accessible world nowadays, people expect things to be, maybe it's a bit cynical, a little bit simple, but certified Cicerone is a qualification that you really need to know your beer. And just to give an indication to people that are thinking of doing it, I mean, I judge beer, I've brewed beer, I've built breweries, I've taught beer all around the world. So I've immersed myself in beer for the last 15 years. So I've kind of been studying for 15 years for this.
Yeah.
And I just passed it. Now, I didn't do any additional studying for it, I have to say, but I just passed the qualification. So
be scared, Liam.
I am scared. It's one of those things, the more you learn, the more you know you don't know.
Exactly, exactly. And it just seems there is just not enough hours in the day or information sources to be able to cram into your brain to feel confident that you actually can get there.
Yeah, 100%. But from what I've learned from just going through the studies through it is insane. And it's funny because, I was doing a Dave's tour, guiding a tour on the weekend, and we had one of our casual guides who sort of helps us out every now and again. And he was like, he said he was listening to me do my tour, and he's like, even what you talk about's like changed. You're getting intense. Like, what's going on? It's like, and you don't realize
it. You just up a little.
Yeah, yeah. He's really like, you started saying this stuff I've never even heard you say before, because
that's cool.
Because he's just like, it's just sort of rubbing off, and it's just a natural thing.
Yep.
And yeah.
And it's what you need to do is have accreditation, because we all know if you do something, for your own interest, you'll learn what you want to learn. And what you realize when you actually have a syllabus in front of you,
yeah,
and you have a look at the test exams and you get that fear struck into your very heart, yeah, when you realize what you've got to know, you've suddenly got to get your breadth of knowledge. And what Cicerone does, it makes sure that it sort of plays into that unconscious incompetence. It shows you what you don't know, don't know. So you go through that period of actually finding out what you don't know, abject fear, even more work, and then eventually, you get this broad understanding of beer, which is what you need to do, because beer is a huge subject. Brewing, yeah, styles, tastes, flavors, it's enormous. So I think if you want to get your certified Cicerone, you need to have been a passionate beer nerd for a while. Tick for Liam. And then you need to study for a good 6 months, I think, and then take the course.
When's the exam, Liam?
28th of February.
Oh, yeah. Over a month and a half.
Yeah. So because it's a sort of thing that a lot of people have been keeping an eye on for a while, and me having one foot in the grave, I guess, with when it comes to Institute of Beer, I've been privy to a lot of knowledge. So I've had a lot of people, bugging me for a good year, going, oh, when's the course? I want to do the course. I want to do the course. So we sort of put together a study group. So we've whittled it down to about six or seven of us that catch up on a weekly basis and do a lot of tastings and stuff like that. And I'd really recommend, if anyone wants to do it, I think you're right, 6 months is a thing. But if you can start thinking about it 9 months beforehand
Buddy up. Get yourself a study buddy or a group of people like Liam and the team have done in Sydney, and help each other through that study pathway or that study journey, because it's an intense period or an intense undertaking. And it's one of those things that makes what used to be fun quite a chore for a period of time while you're studying.
But it's still really fun. It is. You need that support group. And it's purely like, we catch up every Tuesday afternoon and we do a good 5-6 hours probably on a Tuesday afternoon. And you never go in the intention of let's do 6 hours worth of study, but you just sit there and it just rolls off and you get each other's enthusiasm. But it's more just have that support network during the week, because every Wednesday someone would be like, I don't know if I could do this. And everyone's like, no, we got it. And it's just like, which is probably one of the more vital parts of it than anything else.
And one of the challenges of Cicerone that I don't think people understand is it is reasonably self-study, because we do have some courses like Faults and Flavors, so people can go through the fault training. But it is, you just got to have a broad breadth of knowledge. So you're not going to a classroom every week, which will drive you through. So there is a real level of self-determination to do it.
Yeah.
Having people around you that just maybe make you turn up, study when you might just, just flick the TV on and try and avoid the world. It's
important.
And I think that's an appropriate point to, I guess, explain to the listeners IOB and Cicerone and the relationship.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you want to maybe talk about how that started first, and then we can get into...
So Neil and I are two parts of a foursome. So the other two gentlemen in IOB, we've got Peter Fulbrook, who's our general manager and general corraler of three crazily busy individuals, and Ian Kingham. And I guess if I was here in isolation speaking about it, I would say that Neil was the driving force behind putting us together, and was the visionary behind it. And Neil had experience in trying to bring or bringing an education offering to the local market. And this was an opportunity that he saw to be able to bring, I guess, some other smarts and people that had an interest, a combined interest together. So we had, I guess, a consumer-facing offering in me, incredible beer and depth and breadth of beer knowledge with Neil, and a very strong and robust trade trade
and sales side of it.
Trade and sales focus from Ian with his time at Woolworths. And then, as I said, Peter, his job is to pull us all together and actually keep us heading in the right direction. And then when we started talking, it was all about, I guess, lifting the beer experience locally. You know, beer's been around for thousands of years. It's one of our oldest drinks that we've consumed as a civilization, but it hasn't enjoyed, I guess, the exposure or the attributes that wine do. You know, in terms of people's perception of it, it's always been the lowest common denominator.
It's a lowbrow option.
That's an RTD for sure.
Yeah. I think cider's got that market now.
So it was all about lifting that experience and being able to really create a standard and that people who see beer as their career to aspire to and move beyond as well. And when we were putting together, I guess, what our offering would look like, there was that moment where we all sort of stood back and said, I think we might be trying to recreate the wheel here. Let's look at this another way. And we'd all come across Cicerone in some way, shape or form. Individually, and so we thought, well, let's reach out, let's have a conversation with Ray and see what he's if he had any aspirations to come on down to Australia, and it just so happened that he was thinking the same type of thing, and we had some really good conversations, and luckily we were able to. He was coming to Australia, so we got to spend some face time, and I guess that was a really important part of getting that relationship going. Was Ray was be able to eyeball us and ask us some serious questions about what we saw as the state of play locally, what we want to do, and basically who we were. You know,
sort of prove yourself a little bit.
That credibility gained by spending time together was a big part of what we were able to do. And then hence brings us to, there is a separation between the businesses. Whilst we're an agent for Cicerone are the accreditors. So when you do a Cicerone training course, so whether it's certified Cicerone or whether it's Beer Savvy, certified beer server, the organisation that accredits you, if you pass the exam, is Cicerone. IOB facilitates some of that locally, so proctoring exams and providing fulfilment services in Australia. But IOB has its own set of, I guess, face-to-face courses and also supporting training materials and training references that people can use on their journey towards certified Cicerone. And we have a couple of strings to that education piece. There is a consumer-facing education piece. So if that's an informal fool's guide to beer, you know, a three-hour evening when you just, you not literally immerse yourself in beer, but you get immersed in beer and get started on your beer experience, or through to industry and people that want to move into the beer space, or beer fans or people that like beer and want to have a deeper knowledge of it, moving into that more, you know, that, I guess, formalized training pathway heading towards certified Cicerone and beyond. And people have asked us, well, how are you? Are you Cicerone? Is Cicerone you?
Yeah.
You know, we are two separate businesses and we perform separate functions, but with the same end goal, and that's to get people certified.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Fool's Guide. I was going to ask where, like, if you're just a person with aspirations to get into the beer world, whether it be from the brewing side or from a server side, working in some of these great bars and stuff like that, where do you start? Is Fool's Guide the first point of call? Or
Fool's Guide is about teaching you know, how to taste beer, what beer is, how it's made, styles. But it's a very, very sort of hands-on, literally. So you get to taste a lot of beer, and we have kind of quite a structured way of explaining to you how to develop a vocabulary. Because that's one of the things, isn't it? Because you can sort of people drink a beer and they go, that's nice, or that's not very nice.
Yeah.
You know? And what you need is that kind of vocabulary. Now, we don't want to get you to the whole kind of wine wankerdom, you know, sort of hints of cassis in tobacco. That's just not going to be it. But there's some
hints
really good...
Hints of, what was it, garden hose, yes.
So we don't want to get... We try and avoid into the... I hope that use that word is okay.
The whole wanker
stuff. But it definitely, there's a language that you need to develop, and that's what we're trying to do. Because
you know, there is a defined phobia, which is the choice phobia. And going into a bottle shop where you've got 500 or 600 beers in there. Now, I work in industry constantly, so do you guys. And I still walk in there, and I don't know half of the breweries in there because they're springing up. So you've got to start developing some confidence. And also, when a beer is given to you and you try it, probably my greatest annoyance is when I look on the internet at reviews and all that stuff, and you get something where people go, "This beer was really shit." Now, that to me is a very difficult thing because somebody has worked very hard to get that beer up there. And what we really want to do is to give people, if they think a beer is great, why is it great? If a beer is shit, why is it shit?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this education. Because at the very least, you know, you deserve to try and explain your side. So that fool's Guide to Beer will give you that knowledge and that confidence to start maybe just analysing a little bit better what that beer is doing to you.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. And I think you touched on one of my next point is that you don't have to be in the industry. You can just be someone passionate about it. We live in a digital age where there's a lot of very, very vocal people on the internet who are very passionate about beer and have different levels of education or experience in the beer industry. But it's just, like I said before, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And sometimes it takes you a little while to get to that point.
Yeah.
I think we've all been around beer for a bit longer than a lot of some other people. So we reached that point when not many other people were listening, which is, which is advantageous. But,
know more and more and more about less and less.
But I mean, it's like you were saying about, you know, just saying a beer is shit or saying, I didn't like this beer, but this is why. Someone else could read that review and go, for the exact reasons you don't like this beer, I think I'm going to love this beer. If you could explain it, and then it, you know, and it's not shit because someone did a shit job making it. It just might be not to your palate. Or,
exactly, yeah. Right, and understanding that.
Or maybe there is a reason that's come along the train, maybe from brewing, maybe from the way it's been handled that's made it that way as well.
It is incredibly hard. I mean, getting off the sort of education, you know, even people that are judges and brewers, sometimes, you know, you can sit there on a table when you're judging beer with six people, all very knowledgeable, and they will all come up with a different reason of why this beer maybe tastes a little bit funny.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly hard, and however much training you have, there is always going to be a viewpoint, and the way my palate and my brain olfactory system works is going to be very different to everyone else. Mm. So it's having the confidence and even judges with a lot of experience still, you know, get it wrong for sure. So this is an incredibly difficult thing to do. One of the things that irritates me the most, if I may just get on my
eyes. I'll go for it.
One of the great things is nowadays, you know, particularly on things like Untappd or whatever, people put pictures of the beer they've got. And there was one a little while ago where this guy had said something terrible about a beer. I mean, it was quite offensive. I actually had to get them to remove it. But they were criticizing the beer beyond belief, and it was in the dirtiest, scummiest, bloody glass I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So this person is taking this high horse saying, this beer is shit, blah, 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 and they couldn't even clean their glass. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, it's got to balance somewhere, really, and
exactly
I think
right.
That's part of the reason why I get so annoyed and why we need to educate people that they are part of the tasting process. You know, it's all the way through temperatures, cleaning glasses, being ready, pouring it properly, it's all part of it, and it can have a huge impact. You know, things like, you know, the glassware manufacturers now, you do different glassware. It's just a hugely subjective and exciting area. So that's what we want to do, get people knowledgeable.
It was also at a point where Neil and I became friends and we're having beers. I thought, we better develop a course so I can go and do it. So I'm actually prepared to have a casual beer with you.
That's it. I just get people invite me out and they go, are you a certified beer server? No, I'm sorry. I can't go out.
I can't be anywhere near you.
So is there a handshake?
ask Jonathan.
No, it is funny because then, like, you know...
Actually, we should do a liver enzyme test.
So yeah. But it's funny you're talking about, you know, the beer clean glass, which is if you start your Cicerone course, it's something you'll know all about. And it's funny because you can spot one a mile away, as you said. And there are, you know, people like Jonathan from Bucket Boys who has completed his Cicerone at the same time that you did. And we sort of send each other, like, screenshots of people's check-ins. And it's like, you know... Finally got my hands on X beer from the States. You know, six pack was on sale for $4 at Dan Murphy's. Don't know what the hype's all about. And then, this out of date bottle in this dirty glass.
No, I agree. And also, you know, the amount of money that people are spending on beers. You go into Bucket Boys or Beer Cartel, and people walk out with four bottles and they've dropped $100.
Easy, yeah.
You know, this is incredible. So, my God, you want it to be stored properly. You'd want it to be served properly, kept at the right temperature, because that is a bloody bloody expensive thing. I don't know how people afford it.
But it's like anything. If you know, whatever you're passionate about, the best way to really do something with that passion is to learn about it. And you can either learn about it casually and, you know, online in your own dungeon or basement or whatever, or you can go out and join other people and get, you know, whether it's informally trained or or get a formal qualification or accreditation out of it, off you go. And what we really like about the Cicerone program is that Ray and the team in the States have been doing this for years, and they have put incredible amount of effort into developing these courses. And in America now, there are large breweries and some of the better craft beer bars and hospitality venues. It's part of the recruitment process.
It's an industry standard, right?
It's an industry standard. You can't get a job at some breweries unless you're a certified beer server to begin with.
Well, you look at like Stone and like their distribution. Their delivery drivers have done certified beer server.
That's pretty cool.
Delivery driver.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard a story when I was formerly in the Air Force, and I'd heard a story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I like it. It's like everyone in the Israeli Air Force starts, whether you end up as a fighter pilot or a cook, you start on the same training pathway.
Yeah.
And it, depending on where you pop out of that pathway, i.e. which exam you fail, determines which job or role you're going to have in the defense, right? And it's the same. It's the same approach. You know, it's like everybody inside a beer organization should at least have a certain foundation level of education.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I guess for what we offer, you know, there's beer savvy, certified beer server. And I think it's totally realistic that your delivery driver should be able to have a conversation with a venue owner or a barman, because he's going to be the one who's asked the question. Hey, we got a beer the other day that it was tainted, or you know, a customer complained. Can you just try it and have it? They've got to be able to take a position on whether that beer needs to come back, stay over the bar, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's got to come from an informed and educated position.
And let's not underestimate, you know, if someone's out, particularly this time of year, delivering kegs or cases of beer, and they decide to disappear for 2 hours and leave their keg of beer in the sun in 40 degrees, there you go. That's that 3 weeks of making that perfect beer completely stuffed up, because it's going to get up to
in
50 degrees
minutes.
And it's done. Gone. You know, it's lost.
And and nowadays, we see it anecdotally and just through conversation with people. The amount of beer companies in Australia that are seeking staff, sales reps, you know, taproom staff, you know, brewery operation floor, you know, assistants, you know, packaging line people, you know,
drivers,
drivers. You can't not train those people in some way about the product.
Yeah.
Do you guys see certified beer server and Cicerone gaining the same momentum in Australia as it has in the US?
Absolutely.
From what we've seen already, there's a lot of excitement about it. And I think, you know, in a very, very competitive market, which it is, there's no doubt that you have to have that everything to help you along. Yeah. And a really good, taking a broader level from it, I mean, I work with some of the big breweries, and if you look at our two big breweries out there now, whatever opinion you have of them with their craft offering is up to you. But Lion have their own internal training where you have these different standards of education right the way up through to actually designing and making your own beer. And pretty much everybody within the Lion organization has to go through this process. So if you're a receptionist, whatever, you do some stuff. At least you know what a beer, at least you go in a brewery. And their craft beer offering to me is much more focused, much more positive. And the people I know in Lion, certainly there, CUB, really struggling with their craft offering. I mean, what is it, you know? Closing down Matilda Bay, crazy, you know.
They don't
have that internal stuff, although they are addressing it. You know, they're very conscious that developing that huge swathe of knowledge and passion about the product that they're selling is part and parcel of being successful.
Even
in
from
business.
A consumer point of view, you can see one of those two have an idea what's going on. They seem to get their head around it. They have a vision of where they're going, and one of them just looks lost in the water. So you can see it from a consumer point of view, I think.
So I think it's one of those things that, you know, there are no simple answers to a lot of these broader business issues, but undoubtedly having empowered, educated people excited about their product just generates a fervor and energy. I mean, we know in the industry we look at, if you're not enthusiastic in this industry and excited, you're going to go nowhere because people will just...
There's 90 other people behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, we can't expect, you know, to continue our phenomenal growth pattern of the industry unless we start to really put a focus on development and education of our people. And it's the only thing that's going to keep the industry alive going forward. Its growth will taper off. It's the natural cycle of things. But still, that even when it does taper off and level out, there's going to be a lot of people driving or sitting inside and driving that industry, and we've got to keep educating. And so that's why, and outside of the industry, the consumer, the passion for the enthusiasm for knowledge and information is fantastic in the beer space. So we think that we've got something. We've got a couple of different products, and we've got a couple on the drawing board that are later down the track for us. But yeah, we're pretty excited. We've got something that really can lift that view of beer locally.
And it's really interesting, you know, what is the future of craft beer in Australia? I know that's more a sort of a bigger topic, to me, I don't think we've even started yet. I know we've now got nearly 400 breweries. We've got, 5 or 6% of the market. But I don't think we've hit that critical size yet, because for every brewery that's coming along, there are 4 or 5 bars realizing that they need to put a decent beer on or more exciting beer. I was out at Bankstown RSL, for God's sake, the other day.
Yeah.
You know, Bankstown,
how is it?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing place. They've put in a smart brew system, which I have mixed feelings about. But the venue itself is beautiful. Don't tell me there's no money in gambling, because there clearly is. They've got a sort of 18 taps on the bar. They've got some great breweries in there. I chatted to most of the staff, and they're all very excited about it. And it's beautifully air-conditioned. It's subterranean. So that is a fantastic venue that if I was living near there, I would definitely go. So, my God, you know, if Bankstown RSL can do it, the future is just enormous, really.
I saw a discussion on one of those Facebook groups, and it was asking which breweries have labs, because this person only wanted to drink beers from breweries that had labs because they give a crap about their beers. And it was a really good discussion. A lot of people said, you know, like, you know, there are, like, the Squires Brewery, for example, do a lot of work and help out a lot of the other breweries in the area, and they do a lot of testings and open up their equipment to a lot of other people. And if people are that worried about the gear that they're using to make, that the breweries are making the beer, shouldn't you be as equally worried about the education and the person who's using that gear or the person who's serving the beer afterwards as well?
Yeah, so, absolutely right. Yeah,
I think that's where the industry is going, and not just to say because we're talking to you guys and you're a part of it, but you fill out, you grow, and then you need to fill that out with, you've got to have something behind it. And
Sure. I think it's as you scale. You know, there are some small breweries out there, I'm thinking particularly Akasha and Batch, who don't have big labs and stuff.
No.
They do make great beer because their processes are very strong and they give a shit. But then, you know, someone like Young Henry's, obviously huge expansion, went through a real difficult quality period there for a while, and they've invested a huge amount of money now into their processes
and staff and time
staff and the beer is now, to me, really starting to be up where I'm sure they wanted it originally. So no doubt you have to invest in that. Now, whether
and what Dan and the has in the lab there is pretty insane. Like,
he's not talking about his mustache.
That's a whole other culture there.
Well, they've got the money to invest. And what's interesting is, you know, people will say if you want to start a brewery up, it's $500,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you want to put a decent lab together, it's $50,000 or $40,000, which is a small fraction. And yet a lot of brewery startups, you know, balk at spending $6,000 or $7,000 on a decent CO2 meter. And, you know, you stuff that up and you don't get it. So it's just an awareness of that. The other problem is a few of our brewers just simply don't have the experience. They haven't been able to be trained properly. You know, 400 breweries, where did all those brewers come from? So again, it's that unconscious incompetence. They don't know what they don't know, and they can't identify the problems. They can't rely on the public to be critical, sort of intelligently critical, if I may say. So again, this is when all this education comes down, so the brewers need to understand what's going on how they can improve their product.
It's really interesting, and, you know, to tie both, I guess, Institute of Beer and this TAFE course together, is everyone that I know in the industry has come from something else and become this. Like you were saying, what were you doing before you were a brewery?
I was a logistics manager.
Dave, what were you doing before you were in the beer industry?
An executive at an engineering firm.
we're now going to have a generation who have come out of school and gone straight into to the beer industry, which is pretty really scary, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. There's going to be kids who will be 19 that go know more about beer than I did like 10 years into the industry. And
but there is, I guess, before the current wave of craft, and if we just say, you know, at a very general generalisation that we had two big brewers, you know, back in the day, you could walk out of school and walk straight over the road and go into Abbotsford and walk into CUB and or out at Lidcombe and go and work for a brewer and become a brewer. But the positions available around the country were quite limited. Now we've got 400 plus potential places for people to walk across the street and go in and get a job.
But also you talk to the brewers from the big breweries, and I've obviously employed quite a lot of people. I've had a lot of people from the big breweries wanting to get in there. And most of them will tell you, and I hope it's not insulting, that they don't actually know how to brew because they have a very, very sophisticated computer system and a large automated brewery where they press buttons. Now, their palates are well developed. Their beer knowledge is great. But you put them into the average brewery, which is sort of 30 hectolitres, they just don't know. They really don't. And I've come across this quite a bit. Two or three brewers that I've employed from the big breweries simply didn't know how to brew. Now, once we've taught them actually how to, you know, open the valves and clean the tanks, they make really good brewers for sure. Yeah. But even, so they're just, that coming from the big breweries into the small breweries is really not
that easy. There's still a transition to be done.
That's another course down the line.
Dude, we're running and standing still at the moment. When we say we've got stuff coming down the pipeline, that pipe is...
It's a long pipe.
It's a long pipe.
I think one question I just want to have quickly, Neil, is how did you put the brewery here together and what was the thought process behind that?
At TAFE here?
Yeah.
I was amazed, actually. I thought we would have to rely much more heavily on breweries out in Sydney. And although the support has been incredible, and we've got six breweries in Sydney that are supporting us brilliantly, you know, the James Square, the Four Pines, Akasha, Australian Brewery. And TAFE got behind this course unbelievably. And I would imagine we'd be doing it on a bit of a shoestring because it's government. But no, they said, we're going to do it. And so they said, what do you need? So we talked about putting a brewery in. We're talking about putting a canning line in. We've got that approved.
Cool.
And it's also taken me a long time, and I'm not an educationalist particularly, so they've paid me during the course of the year to develop the course.
Cool.
And there's more money to be put behind it. Now, they want us to do a second intake this year because they want their money back. Which we're struggling to come up with because we've run out of breweries to do the vocational, the actual experience in. But yeah, it's just they do what they do. They employ people from the industry that are subject matter experts, and then they support them.
So-called experts.
Is that so-called experts. Yeah. Well, I'm as much as they could find. Right? And they just support it. But and they've shared the vision, and they've said it's an industry. This is what TAFE thrives on. Seeing a need in industry and then providing a course. Yeah. And it's by far the most exciting course that they're putting at the moment. Everyone's really thrilled about it.
It's actually a pretty good sign of the times to show that they're actually quite in touch with what's going on in the industry where they're putting something like this in. I mean, and this has come from a person who went through hospitality management and stuff like that at TAFE quite a long time ago at Ride. And, you know, it's pretty cool that this is something that people, you know, can apply for. And
It is amazing, and they do things incredibly well, and you can see the equipment around, and we've got another six floors here, and we've got an analytical lab, and we've got a microbiology lab with incredible amounts of equipment in it, millions of dollars. And it's so, I think TAFE can be seen as a little bit jokey sometimes, and yet the number of people they put, the quality of the staff here are extraordinary, and it's incredibly disappointing, particularly when you get into an industry and you see the politics of it, what the government has done to with deregulating the whole RTO has caused a huge negative effect on TAFE, and I hope that all changes because there's some really passionate people. There's all this infrastructure that we've got to use, and I don't think our government really understands the treasure, the jewel that they've got at TAFE. And this is part of it's part of that change, I hope.
Awesome, that's great. So I think we might wrap it up
there.
But I was I think one more thing. Do you want to have a talk about if someone wants to get into either the TAFE course or Institute of Beer. Where can they go? Give us some dates of what's coming up. What can people get into? TAFE course, good luck. See you next year.
Yeah, TAFE, no. I mean, register your interest, go into TAFE and register it. But
and what should they be doing in the meantime?
Getting out into breweries, getting some experience. You know, demonstrate the fact that you're passionate about it.
Volunteer some time.
Actually working in breweries is very, very different to actually what you think it is. It's not all kind of glamour. It's bloody hard work.
That sucks.
Especially this time of year.
It's a lot of cleaning.
But you either love it or you don't. Yeah. And if you love it, you love everything. And if you don't love it, you don't. IOB, onto the website, theinstituteofbeer.com. We've got courses in Melbourne, Sydney and Perth starting early February.
Cool. And they are filling.
They are filling.
Yeah, they are filling. We're getting very limited seats in Melbourne and Sydney. So it'll be rolling into... We've got courses lined up for the rest of the year and exam dates set. The exam dates... for certified Cicerone exams in February, as Liam said. The next date after that will be July, August. We've got to coordinate that with Cicerone out of the state. So, if you are keen to get on some of the IOB courses or training sessions, definitely check it out online. But February is getting pretty tight.
Cool. Yeah, and I would definitely recommend if anyone wants to do it, if you have a pretty good palate, all right, do the faults and flavors training. Awesome. It's a 1 day course, it's a half day course, is that correct?
It's a 3 hour evening.
Three hour evening course.
I actually want to do that.
Do it. It's really cool. We had the pleasure of doing it with Ray from Cicerone when he was down, which was awesome. And I've done a few of them on my own, but I really recommend for anyone who's out and about and has their beers to get
it. I just think it's an amazing... It's a definite for industry.
Yeah. Not even just for industry, though. Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. It's a definite for industry.
And homebrewers. If you're a homebrewer, my God.
But even consumers. Doing a faults and flavours course, for me, opened my eyes to the amount of faulty beer out there. Yeah. But also being able to articulate what's faulty about it and be able to understand it.
And where it's come from.
And where it's come from. Yeah. You know, and being able to understand where in the supply chain that fault has probably been or has been created in that beer. And I'm lucky. I get to do a fault and flavour course probably every 4 to 6 weeks because being around it. And it's one of those things you just got to keep doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just got to keep training the palate and training the brain and the palate to connect and then out the mouth, you know.
Yeah, if you want bang for your buck there, I reckon that's an awesome 3 hours.
I think the last time I did one was like 5 years ago, so I definitely need to retrain on that.
Come on down. One thing I will add, all of our trainers around the country are certified Cicerones or brewers.
Awesome. Yeah.
And all the people that do our faults and flavours course are brewers.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of knowledge there to be had because, you know, there's a lot to know.
Cool.
Anything else you guys want to chuck in before we wrap it up?
No, thanks for the opportunity. No, that was
thanks, guys.
How about a quick contractual plug for Dave's Brewery
Tours? I've never had to do my own endorsement.
Well, do you want to give us a hot scoop? What's happening? What's something you can talk about at Dave's?
What's like the hot tour going around right now?
The hot tour at the moment is probably Grains and Grapes, actually. Talking about wine and beer. So being able to see a real live production winery in the middle of town and being able to go and talk and taste all about the parallels and differences between producing beer and wine, which is really cool. That one's starting to really, really take off. We've launched in Canberra, which has been great. Yep. Shane's doing a great job.
We've
down
talked
there.
About the fact that we really want to do an episode where we all jump on the Greyhound down to Canberra and spend the weekend down there.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
And the big thing, and I guess I can say it, it's big thing in the tour space is we launch in the Hunter Valley in Newcastle in February. And Alicia take on the reins up there, and we're just getting those guys in place, and we've got the vehicle. It's in the shop getting wrapped, and we've spent a lot of time with the local breweries up there getting our tour or our planned tours in place. So that's pretty cool. That's really exciting. We've come across what we call is our regional operators model, where we co-invest with people that want to do brewery tours or be Dave out in the region.
Because you will be called Dave.
You have to legally change your name to Dave.
And it's it's taken me a while. We've had inquiries over the last couple of years, and we've just taken a while to sort of work out how to structure it so that we find the right people. They can get into the business and get their own business up and running quite economically, but supported by a reasonably well-known brand and a really mm-hmm. good core of people back in head office, which is really good.
Yeah, there's pretty cool people there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So it's not a franchise model at all. We are partners in each of those businesses, and it's worked really well. So at the moment we've got, as I said, Canberra, Hunter Valley, Newcastle. We're in discussion phases. Really, really cool dude in Byron, which is really cool. And we're having some discussions in Orange and Bathurst, and the Highlands and Wollongong. So it's really cool. It's not what I thought it would be when we started. It's far greater than that, and it's really good fun. We've got a really, really cool group of people, and back at Days, and you know, they're really passionate and they're really into what we're doing, and they are all co-owners and mm-hmm. investors, so they own the business as much as I do, and that works really well. So with Liam's new job as venue liaison and general manager of Sydney Craft Beer Week, you know, it's going to be a very busy year for everyone at Days.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Right on.
Hopefully we can talk about that in a future episode.
No, I think definitely that's going to be on the cards in the next month, I reckon.
Yeah. Sweet. And that's the other thing, I guess. We're asked the question about why do we sponsor Sessionable. It's because we know you guys. And you just want to see more people do good things in beer. You know, whether that's informally taking people on tours, it's creating a business where we train people and educate people, whether it's, you know, supporting technology and sponsoring a Sessionable podcast of people that want to do it, or finding other people that want to just pursue their passions in beer. Come one, come all.
That's why we're all here, isn't it? Yeah.
Tell us what you want to do, and we'll try and find a way to make it happen. I think that's probably the ethos that fills our office. We've got a lot of people that want to do a lot of things, and if we can find a way to help them do that, by all means, that's why we're here.
Cool.
And we appreciate the support, Dave.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you both of you for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Cheers. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Dave.
Cheers.
Awesome.
Cheers.